I'd like you to take your Bibles today and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'll be reading from verse 1 to 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for the privilege that you've given us to see another year. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives. Dear Lord, without you, we could do nothing. And so we come before you today with grateful hearts, bowing before you, and asking you to speak to us in a special way as only you can. I pray that you would remove any distraction, any hindrances, and anything would hinder the working of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, that it will be far removed from us. Pray that our hearts will be sensitive and receptive to your word. I pray that you would give me precisely the words that you'll have me to say. And may they be a source of strength, source of challenge, and a source of direction for each one under the sound of my voice. Dear Lord, in and of myself, I'm absolutely nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit, and we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for all that will take place and result from preaching of your word today. I pray that you would save anyone who is lost, stir the hearts of every believer, and we'll give you all the glory that's due your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. You and I, we are living in a world today in which we cannot escape the impact of technology. Whether you embrace it or not, it has some effect on your life because there are so many things that are simply done differently as a result of technology. For example, how we communicate, how we cook, how we reheat our food, even how a church service functions, how we travel, how we pay our bills, how we bank. I can go on and on. The reality is we are all affected in some ways positively, in some ways negatively, but we are all affected by technology. One of the ways in which we are also affected by technology is how we watch sports. You may say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, we would be aware of the fact that a sports game is officiated by a referee or an umpire. And that referee or umpire or official is there to ensure that the players are adhering to the rules of the game. These players, their effectiveness and their ability to score or to contribute to the team in any way is limited by their willingness and ability to function within the rules of the game. Those of you who are into sports, you would recognize that in today's game and today's world, in large part, referees and umpires now officiate utilizing technology by way of what is called instant replay. And they utilize instant replay to ensure that the call that they are making is correct. You may say, how has this affected even the casual fan? Well, if you were to look at a game today that is officiated using instant replay, the celebrations that would normally take place previously, that would be spontaneous, that would be sudden, and now all of a sudden placed on pause while the officials review the replay. During such time, the spectators and fans wait with bated breath to hear the call of the official. Because what may have been thought to be a wicket or in cricket, or what may have thought to be a good shot in basketball or a touchdown in football, can be called null and void because it took place contrary to the rules of the game. Simply put, as great a shot as it might have been, as wonderful a delivery it might have been, as fast as he may have run to the end zone, after the replay, it simply might not have counted. You know, God has seen it fit through his mercy and his grace to allow us to see a new year, and to that we say, praise the Lord. Amen. It's a blessing to experience a new year and to look forward to all of the opportunities that it will afford. It's a time to hope, a time to dream, to aspire, to accomplish some things not yet achieved. However, when it's all said and done, may be that whatever we did or whatever we hope to do in this upcoming year, that it be done for God's honor and glory. Amen. The Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. But I would submit to all of us here today that in order for what we do to glorify God and to count in his eyes, we have to function in accordance with his rules, his guidelines. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, I want to draw your attention to a verse there that the Apostle Paul writes on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And he writes this short epistle to his mentee, Timothy, who was his son in the faith, a young pastor to be, a young preacher in the ministry of the word. And he says to Timothy, in verse number 4, let's read that for continuity. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And he says in verse number 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. What Paul is communicating here to Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, in this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be engaged in doing some things. You can be engaged in preaching the word of God. You can be engaged in going and doing and serving. But as a man striving for mastery to accomplish the will of God, he says, he is not crowned except he functions in accordance with the rules. He says, Timothy, you may do some things, but if you don't abide by the rules, to put it simply, it will not count. He says, if you don't pay attention to the guidelines, you don't pay attention to the rules, it will be akin to shooting a shot after the buzzer has sounded. It would be akin to bowling that delivery, but overstepping the line and as such, hearing the call, a no ball. It does not count. And as God has given us a brand new year and an opportunity to accomplish great things for Almighty God, I pray that what we do counts. Amen? May it be that our effort, our giving, our going, our doing counts for Almighty God, counts towards rewards. I don't want to preach a message this morning, and this message, by way of title, will be our theme for this year, 2019. And it's very simple. The theme and the title of this message is Make It Count. Make it count. If you're going to preach a message, make it count. If you're going to teach a Sunday school class, make it count. If you're going to be in the sound team, in the sound room, make it count. If you're going to be singing in the choir, make it count. If you're going to be cleaning the church building and the surroundings, make it count. If you're going to be driving the bus, make it count. Whatever you do, make it count. Brethren, there are a lot of individuals who are involved in this thing called church and are supposedly doing something for Almighty God and giving a lot of effort and giving a lot of time and treasure and talent. And sadly, it does not count. Because it's done in violation of the guidelines and the rules of Almighty God. I don't know about you, but I want everything I do to count for eternity. Amen? Make it count. Make it count. You're taking notes. I want you to jot down, first of all, and we'll be looking at these verses, and I would submit to you that this is going to be a two-part message, but we're going to get into it here this morning. And I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 1, by way of our title and theme, notice what is provided here by way of what I call a secure asset. A secure asset. Look at what Paul says to Timothy in verse number 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in what? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Whatever we do for Almighty God, that will be done in accordance with His will and for His honor and glory, my friends, it will be done by the grace of God. Amen? The grace of God is the push of God. It's the favor of God upon your life. Let me illustrate this very clearly. We were talking in our Sunday school class today about the will of God, that God has a will and purpose for all of our lives. You and I, we are not here by accident. Let me say this as well, that God wants you to experience and to live in His will. And so, let's illustrate it here. Can I get a volunteer? All right? So, when you decide that I want God's will for my life, and I want God to bless me, I want God to His will to be fulfilled in my life by what I do, and you arrange your life in a way for that to be done. You say, "God, I'm going to be obedient to you." Listen, God is going to help you by His grace to experience that. I said, you're going to experience the grace of God. So God says, go in this direction. As you're beginning to walk, recognize you're going to receive some opposition, but the grace of God is going to be at your back. And God, while you are going, it's not going to be all in your effort. You're going to have the push of God. So as you're walking, God's going to say, "Let me help you to do that." That's the grace of God. And so when He decides, you know what, I want to go right. Listen, it may be a rough road as He continues and He's walking. It's the push of God. He's going to be going. You're going to say, "How is He going so fast?" Well, it's the grace of God. It's the push of God. That's the grace of God. Now, here's what you don't want to happen. You don't want it to be where you're supposed to be going this way, But you're resisting and you're going this way. And all of a sudden, instead of having the push of God, you have the resistance of God. And you're trying to go this way, and God is saying, no, 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 that's not the way I want. You want the grace of God. Amen? Amen. The push of God. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right? God grants his grace, his favor to accomplish his will in our lives. It is a secure asset, meaning it is reliable. Amen? It is available. It will do the job. The grace of God. Paul says, Timothy, in order to do this job, you will need God's grace. So I want you to be strong in it. You know what he was saying? Abound in it. Let it be bountiful in your life. You can't live without it. You need it for all that you do. You experienced it when you got saved. That was saving grace. You're going to need it as you serve. That's serving grace. In everything that you do, you want the push of God upon your life. And even one of these days, if Jesus tarries and we have to die, dying grace will be available. Notice Paul didn't say to Timothy, Timothy, you need to ensure you have the largest bank account. Or you need the most intellectual of minds. Or you need an abundance of talent. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In order to make it count, we must have this secure asset. But notice, secondly, the serious assignment. The serious assignment. In verse number 2, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, he says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul says, Timothy, in order for you to make what has been committed to you count, I have an assignment for you. Now, he says, first of all, by way of assignment, that there is a righteous presentation. What do I mean by that? He says, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me. Paul was simply saying to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to watch me. I want you to watch my life. I want you to observe what I'm doing. And in order for Paul to make such a bold statement, guess what? He must have been setting a good example. We have a lot of individuals who do a lot of talking and a lot of instructing, but we don't often have individuals who say to another, I want you to just watch me and do what I do. And in order for Paul to make such a bold statement, he was implying that he was a good example. He was giving a righteous presentation of his life that Timothy could rightly and justly follow. He says, by way of this serious assignment, I'm giving you a righteous presentation, but here's what I want you to do with this, Timothy. You have a responsibility to pattern. To pattern it. Do what I do. Often we approach, do as I say, but not as I do. But making what we do count in 2019 begins with a premise of leading by example. You know, oftentimes, personally, we try to justify all kinds of attitudes and behaviors. To make ourselves feel that what we have done is right. But you know what we should often do? And we should provide a filter on our attitudes and behaviors by asking ourselves, can I truly say to another person, especially a younger person, exactly what you've just seen me do? Apply this behavior to your life. And you will be better off for it. Oftentimes, we don't do that. The question is, can we rightly say to another person, Do as I do, and you will be honoring God as a result. Paul says to Timothy, there's a responsibility that you have to pattern my life, the places that you go. Can someone pattern that? Should someone pattern it? The things that we do, or the things that we watch on television, the things that we observe on social media, the things that we listen to on our devices, is that what we want others to incorporate into their lives? Can we say to another person, I'm going to be an example of faithfulness. I'm going to be an example of modesty. I'm going to be an example of honesty. I'm going to be an example of punctuality. I'm going to be mannerly, polite, respectful, generous. We cannot reasonably want, especially as parents, our children to be something that we are not. It's not reasonable. We must take with open arms a willingness to set an example for others to pattern. If we do not embrace such a principle, much of what we say and what we do will not count. Paul says to Timothy, you have a responsibility to pattern what I've given to you. But he says part of this assignment also involves a requirement to pass. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, he says, the same do what? Commit thou to faithful men. Brethren, this assignment that the Apostle Paul has given to Timothy, it is very similar to what we observe at track and field events by way of a relay. If we want what we do here in 2019 to count, not just for 2019, but for 2020 and 2021 and years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the line, we must embrace the principle that we must pass on righteousness to those who are coming behind us. And Paul wrote this epistle thousands of years ago, and we are here because what he committed to Timothy was passed on. And as a result, the impact of the Apostle Paul is still being felt today. If we're going to make what we do count, it has to be beyond the here and now. We have a responsibility to pass on. I need some volunteers once again. Okay? Because here it is. The Apostle Paul says, I've been given something. I've been commissioned by Almighty God. He has given me a purpose in life. He has given me a calling. You can come on. But Timothy, if it only stays with me, it will die. If I don't pass it on, it's not going to count. It's not going to last. And so I'm imploring you that I'm committing something to you. And exactly what you see me do, I want you to take it. So here is he saying to Timothy. Colin, I want you to go down a little bit. Michael, you can go beyond Colin. All right? And so if this thing is going to work, Timothy, I'm not going to be here forever. My time is going to expire pretty soon. But the work of God must go on. And I want it to count long after I'm dead and gone. So here it is. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to train you. I'm going to coach you. But I'm going to pass it on to you. Now, when we know that in the relay, in order for a team to be effective, they can't just pass it any old way. Right? They have to pass it smoothly. And I know we have some track stars in the congregation. And I know Judge Javian is a wannabe track star. Right? He was my first volunteer and I embarrassed him. That's not nice. All right? All right? But the track stars will tell you when you're passing the baton, there's a way that you have to have your hand positioned. All right? And there's a communication that takes place so that when the person puts it in, right? Oh, sorry. When they put it in, it's received smoothly. All right? And he runs with it in an efficient as way as possible. And then he passes it on to the next one. And then he runs with it and he passes it on to the next one, because we cannot all run the same leg. We must pass it on to somebody else. I can't run Javian's leg. Javian cannot run Carlin's leg. Carlin cannot run Micah's leg. But if I pass it on, guess what? The baton will make its way to the destination. He says, Timothy, thank you, gentlemen. That's a principle I want you to understand. And just as I'm giving it to you, I want you to pass it on to somebody else. If you don't pass it on, it will not count. Have you ever seen a relay race and anybody running and they drop the baton and the person just keeps running and running to the finish line? It's futile. He says, make it count. Make it count. There's a responsibility that's given. There's a requirement to pass. There's a responsibility to pattern. There's a righteous presentation. But here's something very important. He said to Timothy, he says, Timothy, when you're passing this baton, he says, it has to be given, get this, to reliable people. He says, Timothy, I'm going to qualify the type of individual who you need to pass this baton to. He says, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men. He says, you can't give it to any and anybody. Because if you give it to someone, the wrong person, they may just drop it later on. He says, the one who shows a good attitude to the work of God. The one who has a healthy appetite for the things of God. And do you know that in this thing called the work of God, that, and this may be a surprise to some, that there are only 24 hours in the day. I know you know that. That's not the surprise. There are only 7 days in the week. And there are 365 days in the year that given to every single person. But do you know that if you are invested in ensuring that what you do counts and that you pass the baton to future generations, you have to be particular in how you spend your time and who you invest your time in. You cannot invest equal time in everybody. Because to be frank with you, investing a bunch of time in certain people amounts to a waste of time. I don't mean to sound harsh, but it is the reality. Because if you keep pouring into certain people who will not show any kind of interest or return, it will not count. It will amount to nothing more than a hill of beans, and probably not even that. He says, commit the things that have been given and entrusted to you to what kind of people? Faithful men. Faithful men. He says, if they're not faithful, if they're not reliable, put them aside until they're ready to be faithful. And by the way, he was here talking to Timothy as a pastor to a pastor. But I would submit to you that we are to invest in faithful people. Amen. Look around for that young person who's not just coming to church because his parents told him, but he takes some initiative to be in the house of God, come rain or shine. Faithful men. This thing about, I hear a lot of talk these days about mentorship, which is a great thing. Mentorship is what Timothy received from the Apostle Paul. But I submit to anyone who wants a mentor, and who desire somebody investing in your life, mentorship is a two-way street. If you want somebody to invest in your life, you have to make yourself available and arrange yourself around that person's leadership. You cannot have a mentor kicking and screaming. You have to be willing to take instruction. You have to be willing to take correction. You have to be willing to accept rebuke. That's a part of mentorship. It's a mentor-mentee relationship. And it's one that takes time. It's one that takes effort. It's one that requires money. By the way, if you want to be a mentor, make sure you're not cheap. Because it requires some resources. It is an investment of time, talent, and treasure. Amen. But it is worth it. And as such, it has to be given to faithful people. Says the same, commit to faithful men. Can you imagine being a manager to whom a budget has been entrusted? And your budget is $10,000. And you've made a mess of the budget and have not shown good stewardship, but you expect to be now entrusted with a budget of $100,000. It will not happen. As it relates to stewardship, God entrusts more to us when we've shown that we are good stewards with what He has presented to us in the first place. That's faithfulness, reliability, dependability. Says Timothy, the same things that have been committed to you, commit thou to faithful men. And then he says this, who shall be able to teach others also. He says, here's what Paul got a hold of. Timothy, this process that I'm entrusting into you, it is repeatable. It's a repeatable process. He says, so as I pass it on to you, and you pass it on to somebody else, and you invest in somebody else's life, and that person gets a hold of what has been done to them by you, they turn around and do the same thing. And as a result of that simple principle, what I have done will count for time and for eternity. Says Timothy, that's how you make it count. Brethren, oftentimes what has happened in our churches and in our world, we have simply dropped the ball. Dropped the baton. We're running the race, and we were running with the baton, and we dropped it, and we kept on running, and we need to go back and pick it up, because if we get to the finish line without the baton, it will not count. We have to employ the simple principle of leading by example. Says this is a serious assignment. I can't just do anything. I can't just go anywhere. I can't just watch anything. I can't listen to anything. Why? It's about being an example. It's a serious assignment. But notice thirdly, he says, Timothy, in making it count, you're going to have a strong approach. He says, verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, Timothy, I got some news for you. I hope you're not scared away, but you're going to have some toughness. You're going to have to endure some hardness. Listen, the Christian life is not lived on easy street. It requires some toughness, a strong approach. It's a requirement of a good soldier. Listen, I'm sure some of us would agree from the very beginning. Military life was not for some of us. I'm going to put myself in that category, just in case you think I'm picking on anyone. Unless you're prepared to endure some hardness, listen, just be a civilian. Because there's sometimes you're going to have the stars and the sky for your blanket. There's sometimes where you're not going to have the comfort of your Sealy posture feeding mattress. You're not even going to have a pillow. Why? Because you're going to have to endure some hardness. Listen, this is the part that people don't want when it comes to the Christian life. Listen, I'm blessed. What about the hardness part? Paul says, Timothy, you're going to have to have a strong approach. He says, here's what's part of having a strong approach, Timothy. You're going to have to employ some discipline. Discipline. In our scripture reading that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26, I want you to turn there real quickly, because Paul understood the necessity for discipline in living the Christian life. He says here in verse number 25 of chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, he says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is what? Temperate in all things." What he was saying to him by this word is that he is controlled. He is under control. He's under some kind of authority. He's keeping himself disciplined. He says, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." He says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into what? Into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Discipline is a word that implies and means self-control. A systematic approach that is not based on feelings. You know why? Because feelings fluctuate. They're up one day, they're down another. It takes discipline to read your Bible every day. It takes discipline to pray every day. It takes discipline. I will have to discipline myself. We will have to discipline ourselves to work towards our God-given goals. Discipline requires sacrifice. I can't be a part of everybody's agenda and accomplish the will of God. I can't say yes to everything, even things that might not be wrong. Why? Because I'm employing some discipline in my life. He says, Timothy, you're going to have to be disciplined. But he says, you're also going to have some determination. Be mentally tough. Let me submit to you that if you're going to accomplish some goals in 2019, you're going to have some determination to overcome some hurdles. You're going to have some will, sheer willpower. You say, Pastor, why is that? Because the devil is not going to sit idly by and watch you waltz your way to experiencing God's will. He's going to throw some obstacles your way. Look out for them. Expect them when they come. He's going to try to hinder you. He's going to try to set some traps. Young people, you go back to school tomorrow. Expect some criticism from your friends when you take a stand for Almighty God. Don't be shocked. Don't be amazed. Expect to be ridiculed in seeking to please God. Expect to be maligned for saying, "I will maintain my purity." They will laugh at you. I'm telling you in advance. But have some determination. And by the way, they say, who laugh last, laugh best. Brethren, when you, by the grace of God, put God first in your life, you will not lose. There are many people who are laughing, were laughing then, but they're not laughing now. Endure hardness as a good soldier because you understand the cause. Adults, you will face criticism in the workplace for standing up for righteousness. You will face criticism and ridicule for rejecting this gender neutrality, which is fast becoming an acceptable norm in today's society. Parents, if you attempt to raise your children in a holy manner, you will be ridiculed. You will be maligned. Mothers, you attempt to dress your daughters modestly, they're going to say, who she thinks she is? She thinks she's better than people. That's what they will say. That's what they have said. Have some determination. Have some willpower. And here's something else as well. When you attempt to take a stand for God, there are people, mark it down, who will be plotting your downfall. And even if they don't plot it, they are wishing for it. But endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. He says, Timothy, you must have a strong approach. But I want you to notice here as well. Verse number 4. He says, and we're rounding the corner here. We're almost done. He says, have what I call a selective association. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He says, if you're going to make your life count, if you're going to be successful in experiencing God's will for your life, you cannot wrap up yourself in this world's agenda. Matthew 6 and verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Brethren, simply put, and the reality is this. God's agenda and the world's agenda are totally opposite. Totally opposite, like night and day. It can't be hot and cold at the same time. It can't be light and dark at the same time. They are polar opposites. And that's why James 4 and verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, knowing not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We're talking about making it count. So when it's a child of God, one lives one way from Monday to Saturday, and then all of a sudden flips the switch, comes in the house on Sunday morning, all praise to him that reigns on high. It does not count. We want what we do to count. This world's philosophy is against God. This world system, get this, is not designed to help you serve God better. You're going to have to go against the grain, against the flow. You're going to have to be selective with the people who you spend the most time with. And here's how you identify whether your friend is a good friend or a bad friend. Is that friend, I'm talking about that one you spend most of your time around, the one you spend most of your time talking to, is that person helping you be closer drawn to God, or are they doing the opposite? What's the effect? Make no mistake about it, there is an effect. Pastor, I'm struggling with temptation. What are you taking in through these things called eyes? What are you taking in via the two ears that God has given to you? Pastor, I'm struggling with my thought life. What are you looking at on television? What are you letting pass your eyes on social media and Facebook. By the way, some of you, after this service, if you want to serve God with some effectiveness in 2019, when you get home, you need to log into Facebook and unfriend some people who are passing nothing but absolute trash and hogwash before your eyes every day. And if you can't handle it, just delete the whole account, like somebody just said. Listen, don't let Facebook control you. Listen, I've had to do that. I cannot condone this garbage in front of my eyes, unfriend. Listen, stop letting people chain you down spiritually, and then you wonder why you're not going anywhere. They have you in chains, shackles. It says you got to be selective in your association. It's not a better than mindset. It's I got to go somewhere for God mindset. Here am I trying to go. Are you pulling me back? Pulling me back? Pulling me back? Oh, God, I want to. Oh, you but get the chains off of me. People got this thing. Loose me, loose me. Loose yourself. Selective association. You got the key to the shackles right in your hand. Talking about loose me. He says, look at the word that Paul says. No man that warreth entangleth himself. He didn't say other people were entangling you. You're entangling your own self. Selective association. Young people, watch out for the friends that you have. Be particular. Listen, I'm not talking about looking down on people. Listen, I don't know if you all know, but I think this. And you could tell me if I'm wrong after the service. Okay? And the reason why you'll understand. Listen, when I go to town, listen, I say hi to everybody. Listen, I hardly pass anybody. Listen, I don't care who it is. Why we ought to be approachable, friendly. But that don't mean that you could be bosom buddy with everybody. It's not possible. Selective association. But finally, look at what he says. Why do I need to be selective in my association? Because I have a strict allegiance. He says that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. He says, my motivation is to please God, not man. Not even myself. My goal is to place him on the throne. To let him take control. Let him call the shots. Is he calling the plays in your life? What area of your life is off limits to God? Is your mindset, God, I know this displeases you. I know this is not in obedience to your word, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you really want what you do in 2019 to count? You must surrender your will to him. You must surrender your life to him. You must let him have his way. He says, my allegiance is to please him. I don't know about you, but I want what I do to count. It's so disappointing and heartbreaking when that shot went off. It looked so good. The arc was perfect. Nothing but net. And after the review, it left the hand after the buzzer had sounded. It did not count. And may God help us in 2019 that everything that we do, that it counts.